Our scripture reading for this morning's lesson is taken from Jonah. The book of Jonah, chapter 1, and the first three verses. Jonah, chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go from to them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Well, good morning once again. We are honored with your presence. It is a glorious Sunday, and we have a fantastic crowd. We're having fantastic fellowship, and it's a fantastic day as we get to assemble and study more of God's Word. Keep in mind, tonight at 5:30, Brother Bobby Hale will be here. He's going to give an update on his mission work in Jamaica. Always enjoy the work that he does. We need people to go there. We need people to stay here. We just need people to preach and to teach. And let me say, Happy Easter. It's a good day. Glad you're here. It must have been, looks like it's probably Wear Pink Day. And I missed the memo. Most people are in pink, but oh well. We all look good. We're glad that you're here. And we remember Jesus risen, not just today, but every day of the year and every Sunday that we assemble together. And so this morning we're going to do things a little different. We're going to look at the life of Jonah. We're going to focus mainly on the Old Testament. But as Dad read in his scripture reading, Jesus talks about Jonah. And he says, Jonah, that will be your sign. Because Jonah was in the fish or the whale's belly 3 days. Jesus Christ was in the earth for 3 days and then he rose again. So what do we know about Jonah? Well, of all the Old Testament prophets, I think many of us could find ourselves like Jonah at least some point of his life. Jonah was told to do one thing, to go in to preach to the city of Nineveh. Instead, he ran away from his responsibility. He went the opposite way. And today, we have responsibilities we need to do. And sometimes a lot of people run away from them. And I think, although just 4 chapters, not a whole lot of verses, but I think there are many lessons that we can learn from the book of Jonah. And that's where I want us to spend this morning. But we're not going to necessarily go verse by verse, because I feel certain that we could probably tell the story of Jonah. If I asked you what happened to Jonah, you could tell it. Maybe not every detail, but you'd get the gist of it. But we're going to look at some lessons from the life of Jonah. And so number one this morning is you cannot run from God. Come on, you can't run from God no matter how much you want to and no matter how far you try. How do I know this? Because Jonah tried to run away from God. That's what he did. That's what the first half of the book is Jonah is running away from God. God gave Jonah one job, and Jonah didn't want to do it, so he runs away from God. What I find interesting about Jonah, though, is Jonah is told to go to Nineveh, and so he eventually goes to Tarshish and to Joppa. He goes the opposite way. From here, if I were to tell you to go to Nashville and you wound up in Chattanooga, you have gone the opposite way. That's what Jonah did. Jonah didn't get close and say, I don't want to do it. Jonah went the exact opposite way. And so he winds up on this ship, and a storm arises. He's thrown into the waters. God prepared a great fish, and it swallows him. Well, what do we learn from this? Jonah was under God's observation the entire time. There was not a point in this story where God did not know what Jonah was doing or where Jonah was going. In Job 34 and 21, Elihu says that the eyes, for his eyes are upon the ways of man, and he sees all his goings. God is everywhere, and he sees everything, and you can't run, you can't hide from God. Proverbs 15 and 3 says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding evil and good. So what does that mean? God sees the good, and God sees the bad, and God sees it all. You can't hide from God. Because he knows what's in our hearts, he knows what's in our minds, and there's no place we can hide from him. People think, I'll go in a cave and I'll get away from God. I'll go in the basement. I'll go somewhere and I'll get away from God. I'll go on vacation. I'll go away from God. No, you can't get away from God. God is everywhere, and there's no place we can hide from him. So that's our first lesson of Jonah, is you can't run from God. But number two this morning is you can't run away from your own problems. Can't run away from your own problems. And people like to do that. Jonah had a problem. What's Jonah's problem? The people of Nineveh, they were the enemies of Israel. They weren't best friends. They didn't meet up and say, hey, you want to go get coffee? They hated each other. They're enemies. And Jonah did not want to go preach to his enemies. He said, I'd rather go somewhere else. So what's the problem? Jonah's fault. Jonah made it a problem. Jonah's the one that created it, so he tries to run away from this problem. Jonah created the problem, and his solution was to not deal with the problem. How many times in our life do we make our own problems? Do we complicate things? Do we make something an issue that's not really an issue? When Paul, writing to those of Galatia, in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he also reaps. So sometimes we sow problems for ourselves that we have to deal with later. In the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 14 and verse 12, that everyone, the Bible says, has to give account for their life. What we've done, both the good things and the bad. So Jonah has a problem. But Jonah made it a problem. Is preaching a problem? No. Is going and talking to somebody a problem? No. Is talking to somebody that you don't necessarily like a problem? No, not unless you make it one. But Jonah made it a problem. And what did God do? God resolved Jonah's problems, but it wasn't the way Jonah would have wanted it fixed. Because what does Jonah do? He goes and preaches to Nineveh. So we can't run from our own problems. And sometimes we make the problem a lot worse than it is. Is sin a problem? Yes, that's a problem. But sometimes we make other things to be bigger problems than they are. That's lesson number two. Number three this morning, we learn from Jonah is that you can reject the mercy of God. You can reject God's mercy, but let me tell you, it's foolish to do such. You know, today is also April the 1st, so it's April Fool's Day. I always like to wish people happy Atheist Day. You say, why? Well, Psalm 14:1, the fool has said in his heart there is no God. Those people are fools that say God's not real. Romans chapter 1, 20 and 21 says you can go outside and you can see the glory of God. You can tell there's an intelligent designer that it wasn't just an accident. But some people are foolish. And they want to reject God. They want to reject God's mercy. They want to reject God's blessings. They just want to reject God. They want to refuse what he said. Well, in our story of Jonah, by refusing God and his word, Jonah found himself in the belly of a great fish. Join with me in the second chapter of the book of Jonah. Well, actually, the last verse of the first chapter, verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me, and of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about, all thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul, the depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped around my head, and I went to the bottoms of the mountains, to the earth, with her bars was about me forever. For thou hast brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came unto thee into thy holy temple, that they observe lying vanities, forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee the voice of thanksgiving, and I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. In verse number 10, the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah on the dry land. So what's happened? Well, Jonah refused God, so he's thrown overboard to appease, to try to get the sea to stop, and God has prepared this great fish, a whale, the New Testament tells us, to come up and to eat him, or swallow him. He doesn't digest him, but he's there for 3 days. And Jonah realized, while in there for 3 days, how foolish it is to forsake the mercy of God. Because notice what he said back in verse 8, that they observe lying vanities, they forsake their own mercy. He says, God, I was a fool. I was a fool. If you take the story from verse 10 and you don't read the other two chapters, you think, all right, so Jonah had no other problems. But that's sadly not the case. But in verse 10, God speaks to the fish. I don't know what he said. I don't know how he said it. But God speaks to him. And the fish comes ashore and literally vomits Jonah back up. And Jonah's fine. He's just been in the whale for 3 days. Brethren, it is foolish to reject the mercy of God. It makes me wonder, how often do we reject God's mercy? How often do we reject God? This world as a whole rejects God left and right. we as Christians are not supposed to look like the world. Let's look for a minute in the New Testament, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. Here, Paul writes those Thessalonica. He talks about those who love lies more than the truth. Verse 10, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of truth, they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, they should believe a lie, and they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. Paul's writing to those of Thessalonica. He says there are people who don't love the truth, and they want to believe a lie. And they want to be led astray because it sounds good. And it says what they wanted to hear, and it doesn't say necessarily what God has said. Brethren, we cannot afford to reject the truth of God. In doing so, we reject our own freedom. How do I know this? John 8:32, you know the verse. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth sets you free. If you reject the truth, how can you be set free? You can't. But people reject God. Brethren, let us accept God's mercy by accepting His word and taking what it said. That's our third lesson. Another lesson, number four. Personal prejudices must not interfere with us preaching God's word to others. We can't let our personal prejudices stop us from preaching and teaching the word to others. Jonah was prejudiced. He didn't like the people of Nineveh. And so what does he do? He doesn't want to preach to them. And so he runs off. And what does God do? God says, I told you to preach. I told you to go to these people. You had one job, and you're not doing it. Brethren, God does not show favoritism today. Look with me in the book of Acts, would you, for a minute. Acts chapter 10, verses 34 and 35. One of my favorite phrases found within the book of Acts, history of the Lord's church. Acts chapter 10, 34 and 35. Peter opens his mouth and says, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. What's Peter saying? What Peter's saying is groundbreaking. At the first part of chapter 10, the Gentiles, Cornelius and his household, receive the gospel. It's fulfilled. The gospel truly goes to all people. And then there are people that there are Jews that don't like it. So Peter says, God doesn't respect people. God's not a respecter of persons. God's not prejudiced. He doesn't like one group of people more than another. And then notice in verse 35, those that fear him and work righteousness, they're accepted. When you fear him, keep his commandments, you obey the gospel, and you'll be doing what you need to. And he says you'll be accepted of God. Brethren, Jonah allowed personal prejudices in his life to keep him from doing what God told him to do. We don't need to be. Why? Because God's not prejudiced. God loves everybody. We should as well. Because I'll let you in a little secret. I've got a soul that's going to either go to heaven or hell. You've got a soul that's either going to go to heaven or hell. That person across the street that you've never met, they also have a soul that's going to go to heaven or hell. See where I'm going with this? Everybody has a soul. And it's going to spend eternity in one or two places, and you don't want to go to hell. I don't think so. You're here this morning. You want to go to heaven. So we can't let our personal prejudices stop us. Why? Jesus Christ said in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Mark 16, 15 and 16, the Great Commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every living creature. So does that mean we evangelize, we preach and teach in our local community? Yes. Do we send people across the country? Yes. Do we send people to places like Brother Bobby Hale to Jamaica? Yes. Because that's every living creature and everywhere. We can't let a personal prejudice stop us from preaching the Word of God. That's our fourth lesson. Our fifth lesson this morning from Jonah. When God's word is preached, those with honest hearts will repent. When God's word is preached, those with honest hearts, they will repent. They'll turn back to God. If you pick back up the story in Jonah chapter 2, at the end of it, Jonah's on dry land. In the verse of chapter 3, God tells Jonah a second time, arise and go to Nineveh. I want you to preach to the people. So verse 3, Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was a great and exceeding city, a 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter the city a day's journey. He cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So God comes to him a second time, says, go and preach. He does. And he says, 40 days. The city's going to be destroyed. You need to get right. You've got 40 days. Here's your warning. That's all he says that we have recorded. And notice, it was not a positive message. It had a positive result. You wouldn't like if someone came up to you and said, in 40 days, Tennessee's going to be overthrown unless you repent. That's not a positive message. But that's what Jonah said about Nineveh, and yet it got good results. Sometimes when we preach, sometimes when we teach, when somebody asks us a Bible question, we can't always give them the good sugar-coated answer, the nice flower answer that they want, because their soul's on the line. But a positive result came from it. And so what do the people do? Verse 5, they believe God. They proclaim the fast, put on sackcloth, from the greatest even to the least. That means they repented of the wrong that they had done. Today, we have good news to preach, but not everything in the gospel. Not everything is positive. I wish it was, but I didn't write the book. It's my job to teach the book. Everything is not positive. In the book of Acts 24 and verse 25, Paul is preaching to Felix. He talks about the judgment to come, and Felix trembles. He's moved. He doesn't act on it. The good news is that we don't have to suffer condemnation. We don't have to. However, many people refuse this message. So here's how I like to look at things. In the book of Luke, if we had time, we'd go through the parable of the sower. We don't. But there are four grounds. In Luke chapter 8, verse 15, it says, when the seed was sown into good ground, it brought forth fruit. You don't have to stand up in a pulpit and preach, but you can tell someone about Jesus. And keep in mind that they might not always receive it the way you want them to. But if they have a good ground, if they have a good heart, they'll receive the word of God and it will grow. The people of Nineveh repented because they had honest hearts. That's number 5. Number 6 this morning. We ought to be happy when people turn to God. We ought to be happy when people turn to God. What happened in the story of Jonah? Well, if you look in chapter 4, well, if you jump back to chapter 3 and verse 10, God says, I'm not going to destroy the city. Because they were faithful. They turned from their ways. And then you get to chapter 4. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. Jonah has told these people to repent or you're going to be destroyed. These people repent, they're not going to be destroyed, and Jonah is mad because they did what he told them to. Jonah, what's going on? You make no sense, dude. He's mad because they're still his enemies. He can't get past that prejudice. He's still stuck 2 points ago, but he needs to move on. So what's happened? Jonah even wishes to die, verse 3. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, take my life from me. It's better for me to die than to live. Talk about being dramatic. He says, I'm mad. I wanted them to be destroyed. God, I'd rather not live to see them be okay. And so what's God do? Well, first he asks him, what good does it do you to be angry? Verse 6. The Lord prepared a gourd and made it come up over Jonah that it might shadow over his head to deliver him from grief. And so Jonah was exceedingly glad for the gourd. But the Lord prepared a worm. When the morning arose, the next day it smote the gourd and it withered. And it came to pass when the sun arose that the Lord prepared a vehement east wind. And the sun beat down upon the head of Jonah and he fainted. He wished again that he would die. He said, it's better for me to die than to live. So now Jonah gets mad that God prepared him a gourd, some shade, and then that it died. Jonah should be happy. God taught Jonah he ought not to get upset over something that doesn't belong to him. Nineveh does not belong to Jonah. That gourd did not belong to Jonah, yet he got mad. Brethren, the souls of men ultimately belong to God who created them. It's our job to teach and preach, but they're not our souls. They belong to God. In 2 Peter 3 and 9, the Bible says God's not willing anyone should perish. They belong to God. When they're saved, the book of Luke chapter 15 gives 3 examples of something that was lost in return. A coin, a sheep, and then the prodigal son. And we see that when something returns, the angels in heaven rejoice when a soul comes back to God. Luke 15 and 10. And God wants people to rejoice with him. That's found in John 4:36. They may have eternal life and rejoice together. Brethren, we ought to be excited when people turn to God. We shouldn't be mad. We shouldn't be upset. Jonah was. Let us rejoice over those that are saved, regardless of who they may be. One thing I find interesting, and I don't travel a whole lot because that's not my favorite thing to do, but when we do travel and maybe you go up to Gatlinburg or you go down to the beach somewhere, you go up to New York, wherever I've been, and I always find a group of Christians, and I always find a good place to worship. And I get to meet fellow brothers and sisters in Christ that are as faithful as I am. Maybe more, I don't know them. Maybe less, I don't know. But I'm happy for them that they obey the gospel. I don't care where they are. We read these mission reports, people in India and Jamaica and whatever country. And we have brothers and sisters there. I'm happy for them. Don't be mad because somebody obeyed the gospel. But Jonah was. Well, if he was mad because somebody obeyed what God had said to do, don't be like Jonah. Our number 7 lesson is the anger of man does not work the righteousness of God. The anger of man, no matter how much they want to, does not work the righteousness of God. At the end of the story, Jonah was angry. Number 1, for the people repenting. Number 2, for God for destroying the gourd. He is mad. Brother, anger is a problem that we all have to deal with in this life. Now, do we get angry? Yes. Do things make us angry? Yes. Are some things out of our control? Probably. But a lot of it we can handle. A lot of it, maybe we're mad because we're in that situation. There are some good reasons to be angry. There are some bad reasons as well. Let's look in James chapter 1 as we start looking at anger. James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. And this is a good motivation when you're thinking about getting angry. Here's what the Bible says to do. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So what does James say to do? He says, always be listening. Be slow to return and speak. And be slow to getting angry. I have had people mention things in conversation that would just make me so mad that I'd want to leave the conversation. But I don't say anything. Because they want to tell me something. Maybe we have something else we have to talk about. He says, always be hearing. Be slow to anger. Be like God. God is slow to anger, and I'm thankful for that. Let's look in the book of Ephesians now. Ephesians chapter 4. We'll start in verse 31. Ephesians 4 to the church at Ephesus, verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, but be ye kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Paul says, put away anger and other things like it. But specifically for this application, he says, put away anger. You don't need anger in your life. So what does he say? Go back to verse 26. Can you be angry? Yes. He says, be angry and sin not. Let the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Things make you mad. It just happens. You stub your toe, that's going to make you mad. You're going to move the couch or whatever. But don't sin about it. Don't get mad and start plotting revenge or anything. Be angry and sin not. We can be angry, but it doesn't do us any good. Jonah's anger only hurt himself. Anger of man does not work the righteousness of God. Lastly this morning, what we learn from Jonah, and I really like this one, is that God instructs man through providential preparations. God instructs man through providential preparations. If we go back and look in the book of Jonah, we see that God has prepared a number of things for Jonah. Number one, in chapter 1, verse 17, he prepares this fish when they've thrown him overboard. The Bible says, God prepared a fish to swallow Jonah. Number two, in chapter 4, and verse 6, God prepared this gourd that came up for him to shelter him. God also provided that worm to kill the gourd, and God provided the wind. Teach Jonah a lesson. All these things were to teach Jonah a lesson. Some worked out better than others, but they were all taught to teach Jonah a lesson. Today, brethren, we have the Word of God that teaches us. That's where our lesson comes from. But God teaches us how to apply the Word. Let's look in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 7. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children. My son, despise thou not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God deal with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? talked about this in our class this morning, but nobody really likes to be punished when it's happening. But at the time, nobody don't like it. But then you step back in hindsight, 2020, you say, oh, I got punished because I did something that was wrong. I was punished because I was where I shouldn't have been, doing things I shouldn't have been doing. That's why God corrects us through His Word. One more passage this morning, and I bet you know it. In Romans chapter 8, and verse 28. And actually, we're going to go through verse 31. Romans chapter 8. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow, He did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He may be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. Whom He called, He also justified. Whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? God be for us, who can be against us? I love verse 28 where He says, for the love of God works together for good for all things. God has said some things in His Word that are good. Well, it's all good. But some things that we want to hear and some things that we don't want to hear, but it all works together for good for us. So that we can know what we have to do to be pleasing to God. Our last one is that God instructs man through providential preparations. What's that today? The written, completed, inspired Word of God. Look, Jonah had to learn some of these things. We can read about Jonah so we don't have to experience the same things. We can learn from them. What did we talk about this morning? Well, you can't run from God. You can't run away from your own problems. God's mercy can be rejected, but it is foolish to do such. We cannot allow our own personal prejudices to keep us from preaching and teaching the Word of God. When God's Word is preached, those that have honest hearts, they will repent. We ought to be happy when people turn to God. The anger of man does not work the righteousness of God, and that God instructs man through His providential preparations. I hope next time you go back and study Jonah, you'll think about this, and not always just focus on the fish or the whale, but see what we can learn from his life. And as we made the application earlier, Jonah is a shadow, is a foretype of Jesus Christ at his burial in the ground. You know, when Jesus Christ died upon that cross, he did it for you and he did it for me. And he did it so that the will of God would be accomplished. For the sole reason Jesus Christ came here was to die for our sins. No other reason. Not to make friends, not to make a really good living, but to die for our sins. When he's hanging on that cross, he says, it is finished. Not was, is, active. It is finished. The will of God. And now today, we obey the gospel. We live faithful to him. What does that entail? That entails hearing the gospel, Romans 10, 17. You've done that this morning. Next, you have to believe. John 8, 24 says, Jesus says, unless you believe that I am he, you'll die in your sins. Next, you have to repent. Luke 13 and 3, also verse 5, I tell you next, except you repent, you shall likewise perish. He says it twice. In school, when a teacher says something twice, it means it's important. Jesus said, you have to repent or you're going to perish. Much like what Jonah said. After you repent, Matthew 10, 32 and 33, you have to confess before a group such as this that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you deny him, he'll deny you, by the way. And then upon that confession, you're baptized. Acts 22, 16, now why tarriest thou? Arise, be baptized, wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. If you've not done that this morning, if you've not obeyed the gospel, why not? What is stopping you? Learn what the Bible says and obey it. If you have done that, keep going. Keep praying faithful unto death. Revelation 2, verse 10, you'll receive a crown of life. If sin is in your life and separates you from God, why not repent of those sins and come back this very morning? Whatever we can help in any way at all, please let it be known while we stand and while